Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
The history of America is the history of class conflict. American capitalists have been exploiting workers longer than the country has existed through slavery, the construction of the railroads, the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge, the Panama Canal, exploiting Chinese Americans on the West Coast, and on and on and on. It's all worker exploitation. On today's episode, we're going to talk about why class reductionism, or reducing all the problems of the world to class conflict, isn't helpful, even if from a theoretical standpoint, it may be true. We'll start by explaining the concept of material conditions. Material conditions is a philosophical concept that basically states that you are a product of your environment.
Yeah, this is a good place to start with theory because there's been a lot of hoopla with this class reductionist idea, which is that, you know, you can't reduce everything back to class consciousness or the class because what is around you every single day is what you are. And it happens to be that every single individual is shaped and molded by the conditions in which they live, and that's what the material conditions are. So if you live in poverty, that's material conditions. If you live rich, that's material conditions. If you go to work every day, you work 60 hours a week. If you eat frozen food because you have to, if you are, you know, getting meals on wheels because you're elderly, those are all the conditions around you that exist, and that is what has shaped you, and that has shaped the current state you're in and the previous state that you were in and all your future states. And what we're saying by states are what you're going to be in the future is determined by what you are now and what you have been in the past.
So an example of material conditions might be your source or quality of food supply. So if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're not going to the big fancy Whole Foods to buy organic spinach because you're poor. You can't afford it. You're probably going to whatever your local most readily accessible grocery store is, whether that's kind of a locally owned place or it's a large conglomerate like Super Value or Kroger or Fred Meyer or Safeway or whatever grocery store is in your regionality. And you're just buying whatever it is they sell. And this store is also basically just selling whatever it is you'll buy because there needs to be a buyer for each seller. And at some level, the person that owns the grocery store also needs to make money if they are a part of the working class. So this may or may not be as applicable for these large conglomerate stores. But if you're going to kind of your local, you know, like corner grocery store, there's an element of they're in the same boat you are. We'll get into that a little bit more going forward. So everybody acknowledges that organic spinach might be a more desirable or a better product, but if it's not accessible, then its existence is immaterial from your decision-making process. Even if you wanted to buy it, it's not really a choice that you're making.
Yeah, it's a choice that you actually can make. And so we could talk about, you know, all the choices that you have in capitalism that are false and sort of the pretext in which people say you have more choice. And if you don't have the choice, if your bodega or your local store or wherever you have to get groceries from do not give organic spinach or the cost is too much for you to handle, then of course you can't buy it. And so then you're ending up in this place in which you either want or you just ignore what this spinach is. And it goes all the way from every decision that's made, whether or not you go out on Black Friday and shop, you know, whether or not you work 60 hours a week, whether or not you are an Uber driver, whether or not you're president of some major company, whether or not you can buy a boat. It's all these things around you that shape you and what you can buy. And so the material conditions like of a giant store, let's just say Amazon or Walmart or just some non-name thing so we don't get any legal suit here, is that they have to run everything under operations and pure ops, which means that everything is accounted for the margins. And so the price point that you're seeing is not really a choice for you to buy it at. It's actually what is available for you to buy it at. And so if you can only go to one store a week because you can only get to one store a week, or you only have enough money to shop, let's say, at a discount store, then you have to go to the discount store to shop. And so you actually don't really truly have any options available for you under capitalism.
And so because you don't have any choices under capitalism, nobody should be assigned blame for making a choice to, let's say, buy the inferior spinach or the cheap spinach or the cheap cereal, the high sugar cereal, because it's your only choice. And you're, you know, you need to eat breakfast. Your kids want the cereal that is marketed on the TV that has the happy songs with the psychological, like, commercial marketing pitch in it. And so you can't be blamed for buying, you know, maybe the unhealthy cereal because it's the only choice you have. And it's a local decision based on your material conditions. And these material conditions are often imposed by the ruling class. So an example of an imposed material condition is your rent. So if you're a renter, your rent is some percentage of your income. And so long as your rent is some percentage of your income, you basically can't move out, but you also can't afford to stop renting. So you're kind of boxed into this debt cycle. And this is a classic form of sort of economic entrapment. It's done by the ruling class. It's intentional. It's working as designed.
And so it is working by design. You're right. This is designed primarily to keep the middle class fighting against one another. And we see this in all types of interactions that we have in the days, from the fact that you can't afford to buy better things. You can't afford to move out and rent. You're constantly taking out debt to buy things. So your credit cards are maxed out, or you're working two jobs to pay those off, or you're not paying cash for your car, you're taking out on finance. Right? You're not going on vacation out of cash, you're going on vacation potentially under debt. And the reason why they do this is that you stretch too thin to actually care about what's going on around you. And one of the things that's important in the constructs that we have here, especially in the working class, is that everything that's around you, all the institutions have been put in place, and primarily right now you're seeing it with the Black Lives Matter protests and the police brutality, is that they are using our own working class against us in order to basically enforce what the ruling class wants, which is to disrupt the everyday activities of a protesting body who's mad about wages or mad about, I guess, police brutality. And so they take and they only enforce working class law. Or ignorance-based, peacekeeping, they'll call it, because they're only trained to go after broken windows, which is primarily the crime of the working class. They're not trained to go after the IRS. They're not trained to go after anybody else. And because of that, we're sort of stuck in a cycle in which individuals that are supposed to serve and protect us are serving and protecting the ruling class and fighting against us and causing us, massive chaos. And basically, it can be boiled down to what we've talked about earlier, maybe not in this show, but just, amongst ourselves, which is that the police are the ones that are actually protesting because they're the ones that are mad that they may lose their job or that their workforce may be changing.
Yeah, so the police is a good example of this because they are upholding the class divide, but they're also part of the working class. And so this is sort of a construct that the ruling class has put in place to create what is kind of an intra-class struggle of if the working class spends its time kind of struggling amongst itself, it can't kind of fully rise up against the ruling class. And there are a number of examples of this. Police isn't the only one. And we're seeing some of the protesting that's taking place around Black Lives Matter, and it's largely a response to material conditions. And the most obvious material condition that's kind of arising from the Black Lives Matter is in its title that Black Lives Matter, and the material condition is that based on certain actions, Black lives do not matter in the context of police killing Black people. But at a higher level, it's not just about police violence. It's about systemic racism. It relates to economic prosperity, housing, education. Basically, everything can be derived from this material condition of systemic racism.
Yeah, and let's dig a little bit deeper into this one, because this is really important for our listeners. I was going to say viewership, but we're not viewing anything.
We are not a TV program.
Yes, right. Yet. This is really important for people listening to really understand what we mean here by material conditions. So we can come out and say that it's all class-based, right? That the working class, the divide of the working class should fight back and that there should only be one class, and that's working class. We can make these statements, and we can do nonsense like the DSA, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But what the average person or the bulk majority of people see on the streets is not class conflict. They're seeing what's happened from the material conditions that has arose from class conflict. So we're seeing abject poverty. They're not seeing, if I was just had more money in the working class and we got rid of the billionaire class, I'd have more money. What they're seeing is my belly is hungry. My kids are living in poverty. There's crime and violence everywhere because of socioeconomic pressures. But the material conditions is not, this is class warfare. This, it is abject poverty. And so it's really important that when we discuss this and frame this and see what's going on, it's we come through the lens of the people that we're trying to talk to. And right now with Black Lives Matter, it is individuals who have been under constant stress that people that work for the state, who are supposed to uphold the law, are coming through and brutalizing them daily. And it's not just in the form of shooting an unarmed individual. It is things like stop and frisk. It is things like stereotyping and pulling you over, race baiting. It's the racism within the force itself. It's the fact that they don't prosecute cops for any of the violence they do, like speeding without their lights on, you know, parking illegally and going in and buying a sandwich, even though they shouldn't be. They should be parked in the parking spot, not letting their car run in the fire lane. All the things that we know that they violate every single day. Or, you know, planting drugs on people or illegally testifying or turning off body cams or popping their hoods so that you can't see their dash cams or, you know, choosing not to write a ticket to one segment of the population but deciding to ticket you because you have bald tires, right? Making you get your car searched, calling in the canines, all the things that we know the police brutality do every single day. And it's these type of protests that we have to bear in mind that this is a stress that those protesters are under. It's not because of material conditions. I mean, it is because of material conditions, but they don't see it that way. They see it as actually police violence. And anybody who's grown up in these areas know that, but they don't know it's material conditions. So it's really important as we begin to talk about this and what we do, that we keep in mind that we may understand the theory of it. We may understand what Marx meant when he says material conditions. We may understand that it is all class warfare, but we don't, or we cannot just speak to someone like that. We must spend our time understanding that from their point of view, this is all about police violence. And if we take the small step of stopping it, then that is what they need at that material and that point in time, because that is their material condition.
So this general pattern of addressing material conditions applies to a number of different issues. And in this context, we're kind of specifically talking about Black Lives Matter, which is perhaps more directly related to police brutality than any other single issue. But the concept of material condition applies to white working class people as well. Like it's not a race-based thing. It's a class construct, but it applies to everybody regardless of class. So even rich people have material conditions. Their material conditions are just sort of better, and they provide opportunities and luxuries that are unavailable to the working class members. And the key sort of construct is to address the material condition. Like, this is a problem, this is how it affects me, and this is perhaps a solution. And that doesn't and should not be explained in the context of class consciousness, because in many cases, the people that are experiencing these material conditions are unaware that class consciousness is a thing. So you can't explain something framed as class consciousness when class consciousness is not understood. It has no meaning. It needs to be explained in the context of, this thing is happening to you. I understand the struggle. Here is a solution.
Yeah, and we're seeing this as a problem with the left. And here we are critics of the left, not because we're not leftists, because we are, but because the power structure seems to be petite bourgeois or basically upper middle class people trying to discuss Marxism to individuals without actually understanding what it takes for real change and how to do this. And we just saw this in the response from the DSA Philadelphia chapter and the letter they wrote that was absolute bonkers nonsense. I mean, you cannot just start talking about immediately into class consciousness without actually understanding what the material conditions are for the people on the ground and how to offer them a solution and not just tell them, wag your finger at them and say, oh, it's all class-based. And that is the actual critique of class reductionism, is that everything can get reduced to class-based warfare or any type of class-based issue. And that's what the class reductionism is again. And that's a critique of us or critique of the left, because we cannot and have no way of communicating this out. It's the same thing that with a concern with Bernie. Bernie would immediately jump into how it's a socioeconomic issue without actually being able to empathize and actually get into what the mind of the worker is, which is police brutality or poverty or job security or crushing educational debt or eviction issues or housing issues, like all the things that people live in material conditions wise, it's hard for someone who's a petite bourgeois or even bourgeois themselves, which means either upper working class or capitalist class, to empathize with the lower working class because they just haven't lived that way. Or if they have, it's been 30, 40, 50 years ago, whatever it has been. And so to be a working class hero or someone that can push it and push this change means that not only do you understand the constructs, which is material conditions, and you understand the class consciousness requirement, but you can also speak to the average person about what the issues are without using the terms material conditions, just saying, look around you. We understand you're in poverty. Here's how we can change this.
This acknowledgement that you can speak to somebody from the sort of political theory perspective of your material conditions suck because of X is not actionable to an individual. They want their material conditions addressed. And perhaps the best way that somebody in the working class or the working class as a whole collective can address these issues is by working together. And this is a lot easier said than done, but having class solidarity and working together to combat problems that are well within your sort of communal ability to solve is going to have a more productive outcome than attempting to work through the channels of the existing institutions or the existing bureaucracies, the electoralism. Take what power you have collectively and assert it. And in doing so, you will improve your material conditions together collectively.
Right, that's a good point. And if you actually understand this concept, that means that you're able to actually work beyond your own material conditions and say, if I do X, Y, Z, then this will help everybody else. And so examples of that would be volunteering for food banks. You know, even if you need services from the food banks, you're at least helping to provide food bank to other people that need it. Or telling and helping somebody who needs to get to the food bank to get there, right? Right now we're under a COVID-19. I think 50% of mortgages are late, right? 2/3 of car payments, I think, are late, or 6 million people. There's a huge numbers of individuals who are financially stressed right now. It's super important that if you actually understand where the resources are for help, people that help pay the bills or being able to get people, you know, food themselves or transportation requirements, that you help out that way. And because you're improving small chunks of material conditions, you remove that stress that's in someone's life, and you're actually able to talk and make a change. And that actually starts at the local level. And this is some theory that we have, and we'll continue to talk through this, but the change at the local level will have a bigger impact in your life than trying to work through the federal channel. Right? The federal elections matter because that's all about funding streams. But really, it's getting involved as much as you can locally to really fight this out. So this is not joining a chapter or something. This is actually going out and either volunteering at youth clubs or wherever it happens to be, or actually going out and running for city council or anything that you think can improve, making a community garden, things that in your community are what really help change material conditions.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.